Oh, poor Martha. Poor Martha this week. I can relate to her. Mike will tell you we talk a lot about what the Atlantic coined a few years ago as the mental load. Yeah. The list and coordination it takes to be a modern American family these days. The summer schedules, the vacation packing prep, laundry loads and grocery pickups, and daily cleaning and caring for small humans and geriatric pets. This is my list. I'm sure you have yours. I love how the Spark Story Bible here depicts Martha. You might not be able to see it super well, but she's got a spoon in between her toes and a broom in her hand. Martha is the ultimate multitasker, and yet she doesn't look happy about it. She is mad. There is a storm cloud above her head, and it looks like she's clenching her teeth. Perhaps we could even go as far to say she is jealous. Yes? Martha is overly responsible and painfully aware of all that needs to get done. And there Mary sits. We got a picture of that too. Let's see. Mary sits next to Jesus. She looks so happy and calm and collected and put together. She's sitting by Jesus' feet, soaking in his presence, resting. It's just not fair. Jealousy, especially between siblings, is not a new concept, even in scripture. We can go back to Abel stealing Cain's birthright, Joseph and his wonderful technicolor dream coat, and those 11 brothers who threw him into a pit to quiet his dreaming. There are many stories of complicated relationship dynamics in our scriptures, and thank God for that. Because these complicated relationship dynamics happen between us today, between siblings, between coworkers or friends, between partners or neighbors. Jealousy is alive and well and real among us. This summer, I've been exploring this book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron with a few colleagues. And we connect once a week over Zoom to discuss the chapter. And then throughout the week, we are supposed to do these guided exercises, along with writing daily 3 pages of longhand stream of conscious. Longhand. My hand has started cramping. Like, it's hard to write, but it kind of slows you down. And the idea is by writing down all of your thoughts for 3 whole pages, about 20 minutes, it takes the junk out of your head. The censor who thinks you're not good enough. The things you're worried and anxious about. The truth underlying all of those feelings that Pixar made into cartoon characters. Julia Cameron writes over and over again in every single chapter that we have a God who loves to create. And we too are meant to create, to be fully ourselves. And by leaning into our whole quirky, beautiful selves, the abundance and love of God shines through. So here I am in week 7 out of 12. And this week there's a whole section on jealousy. Cameron writes, "Jealousy is always a mask for fear. Fear that we aren't able to get what we want. Frustration that somebody else seems to be getting what is rightfully ours, even if we are too frightened to reach for it. At its root, jealousy is a stingy emotion. It doesn't allow for the abundance and multiplicity of the universe. Jealousy tells us there is room only for one. Jealousy produces tunnel vision. It narrows our ability to see things in perspective. It strips us of our ability to see other options. The biggest lie that jealousy tells us is that we have no choice but to be jealous. For the truth is, there is always room for all of us. This is what Jesus tells Martha when she finally implodes and tries to passive-aggressively get Jesus to recruit Mary to help her. He says, "Martha, there is room for you right here. I'm okay with the dust bunnies. We'll order pita and hummus. Don't be distracted by so many things. Come and sit." What's maddening about this story is we don't know what happens next. I'd like to think that Martha takes Jesus up on his offer and she sits. And then the multiplicity of the universe happens and everyone pitches in and people get fed and dishes get cleaned up. Julia Cameron suggests that when we notice jealousy rising up in us, we can make a roadmap. Who is making me jealous? Why are they making me jealous? And what do you want to do about it? Your action. Because those action items are actually within our grasp, and God wants that for us. What do I actually want to do? And so the jealousy roadmap for Martha in this story, who is she jealous at? Well, Mary, right? Why is she jealous at Mary? Because she's resting. Action. Martha can rest too. Julia Cameron writes, "When you learn to harness jealousy's fierce energy on your own behalf, it's a part of the fuel toward a greener, more hopeful, more verdant future. A future where rest is built in. Because of course God wants you to rest. It's one of the commandments. Don't do it all. You aren't supposed to do it all. You can't do it all. So dear child, rest. And then discover what you really want to do. Because that want, that desire, that is God speaking to you. Seriously, God loves you. And God wants good things for you. Now, I've been thinking a lot this week about Juan, our beloved building caretaker of 35 years, whose funeral we had yesterday. And I really wish I had told him to take more days off. To rest from the never-ending list of things to do for, to care for this unwieldy big building, which I'm now finally starting to realize the monstrosity of, as the cobwebs are starting to pile up and light fixtures are starting to blink weird. I counted in preparation for Juan's funeral yesterday. We have 19 toilets in this building and 2 urinals. I know, that's a lot of toilets, right? I really wish we had thrown Juan a thank you party for his faithful 35 years. I wish we had invited him to rest more. And so retroactively, all I can do is invite you all to do this in memory of Juan, in memory of all we love who work too much, who aren't recognized. The Marthas in our lives who won't take the breaks when they're offered. Let's invite them to rest, under function, wash the dishes on their behalf and order takeout and celebrate it all because God mandates it to do so. Let us rest. Now, last Sunday night, I was feeling sad and Mike was feeling sad because, well, there are a lot of things to feel sad about these days. And I remember this tea towel that I bought for a friend with this phrase screen printed on it that says, "It is hard to be sad in a Mexican restaurant." And so we did it. We packed up the kids and we went to El Paso. We ordered some beverages and ate too many chips and sat quietly in this Sunday evening restaurant crowd was buzzing around us. And we had rest. In the form of salsa and beans and margaritas. God said to rest, and so we did. So dear ones, rest today. Take care of yourselves. We live in really hard times. And so this work of rest and care and celebrating who we are created to be is so important. I want to close with this blessing from Kate Bowler because, well, it came into my inbox on Thursday and was a balm to my sad, grieving heart. And so maybe it'll be a balm to you too. Receive this blessing for the burned out, the sun drenched, and the soul weary. Blessed are you who are burned out, sun drenched, and soul weary. You who long to rest but feel pulled in a dozen good directions. You who feel behind before the day even starts, whose group texts go unanswered, whose sunscreen ran out, who cannot remember what day of the week it is. Blessed are you who are trying to care for others when you barely have anything left to give. You are blessed. When you don't volunteer to bring orange slices to the soccer match, when you eat cheese and crackers for dinner again, when you say, sorry, I can't make it, you are not lazy. You are not failing. You are honoring your humanity. May you find pockets of rest when your body says no more. May you find something you can set down when your calendar begs for margin. May you find a friend who helps you shoulder it when you are spread too thin. And may you remember you are not a project to be optimized. You are a person, a beloved one. You don't have to earn rest. You just have to receive it. Even now, even here, in the middle of this beautiful, terrible summer. Amen. Thanks be to God.